Welcome students. Today we are going to begin chapter 2, Fundamental Concepts and Models of Managerial Economics. Let's understand the objectives before we go ahead in this chapter. The objectives that we would be covering in this chapter are various concepts that are very popularly used in the study of managerial economics, like incremental concepts, time perspective concept, discounting concept, opportunity cost concept, equi-marginal concept, economic model building, which is very, very important, various types of these economic models which are used in managerial decision making, how these economic models are useful for business practice, and then you have various micro and macroeconomic concepts like wants, utility, demand, supply, production, distribution, cost, price, and micro and macro approaches. So this is all that would be covered under the perfect concepts, the fundamental concepts of managerial economics. So these are some concepts which are very, very useful in the entire curriculum that you are going to embark upon. So let's begin with our next slide. The very first concept, incremental concept. Now, as you see over here, the incremental concept is mostly revolving around estimation. Now, when we talk about estimation, here we say that when a business firm makes decisions regarding two aspects we have covered up here, revenue and cost. Suppose we have a business firm which has to decide on the various cost-cutting strategies. Today, when we talk about technological revolution, we'll find that companies are all moving ahead towards updating their technology. With increase in and with change in technology, there's also going to be an impact on cost. If the company is going to spend a lot on making fundamental changes in business, then it's very important that this cost needs to be covered up. So revenue and cost comparison are one of the most important decisions that business firms have to undertake. When we talk about revenue and cost, we introduce a concept called incremental. So that gives us two basic concepts, incremental revenue and incremental cost. Now, what is this incremental? Incremental is increase, right? That's what you get the word, incremental, so increase. So let's understand that. We go to the next slide, as you see here. According to this incremental concept, I have underlined here, a particular decision is clearly an acceptable, profitable one. So see, when a company has to make a decision with respect to upgrading the technology, or if they are going for a change in product design, or if they are bringing any type of production plan decisions, then would that decision be implemented or not will depend on using the incremental concept. What does this say? It says that any decision with respect to business will be acceptable only if, now I have given you the option, like if it increases revenues more than it increases cost. Now it's a very basic common sense. If a company is updating its technology and its costs are going to increase, but with the increase in cost, if it's increasing the revenue more than the cost, आपको समझ में आ रहा है, revenue is rising faster than cost, it's profitable. Second is, if it's decreasing cost, now here we want to tell you that it's not just that the fixed costs are increasing, where a company is going for a technological upgradation, like for example, automation. Let's talk about automobile industry. In an automobile industry, the company is planning to introduce automated technology, right? That is for assembling and so on. Now, when an automated technology is introduced, there is definitely going to be an increase in cost. It's the technological cost. We call it as fixed cost. But if it is going to speed up the production process, then on an average, the cost will reduce. So if it decreases the cost more than it decreases the revenue, again it is profitable. If it's decreasing the cost more than it decreases the revenue, it's again profitable. The third is, it increases some revenues more than it decreases others. So here we are trying to say that company's revenue, that is its earning. Revenue is what? Sales receipt. When a company is manufacturing a product and selling in the market, what it gets in return is called as its revenue. So if it increases some revenue more than it decreases others, it means that the company has managed to increase its revenue from, let's say, one particular line of business. So here, if you talk about a company like an automobile, which is into manufacturing of four-wheelers and two-wheelers, with the changes in inputs, if it is increasing its revenue, let's say from the two-wheeler segment more, then that's again considered as profitable, if not for the four-wheeler, but just the two-wheeler market segment. It decreases some cost more than it increases others. So you have to remember that incremental concept helps to streamline the thinking of decision making, like whenever there is any input variation, when a company is making any changes within the plant, then whether it's increasing the revenue more than the cost, is it decreasing the cost more than it's decreasing the revenue, is it increasing revenue at least somewhere or decreasing cost somewhere else? Just keep these four fundamental things in mind. Incremental concept is done. Okay, so after understanding the incremental concept, let's move to the next concept. That's the time perspective concept. So when you look at this time perspective concept is basically related to decisions that the company makes with respect to time. Now we divide the time of the company or the business firms or the organization into two categories, short run and long run. The distinction between short run and long run is purely based on inputs. You see over here how the firm is going to make use of its different inputs. Now in economics, we say that short run is that time in which the company has to keep at least one factor or one input fixed. What are inputs? Inputs are all the raw materials, the capital, labor, land, office infrastructure that is used in the organization. In economics, we divide these inputs under a broad heading called factors of production. And we divide the factors of production into four broad categories: land, labor, capital, entrepreneur. In the short run, the company cannot make sudden and quick changes with all its inputs. So we say short run is a time in which at least one input or one factor needs to remain constant. Whereas in the long run, no factor, no input is constant. It can all be varied. So business firms, when they are expanding their production process, when they are expanding their scale of business, they don't have to worry with respect to their fixed inputs, because in the long run, the firm can vary all its inputs. So time perspective concept is a very important concept, especially when you study the chapter of production. You will realize that how the decision making ability of the firm varies in short run and in long run. Okay? Now we move to the next concept, discounting concept. This is the third concept that is very popularly used, especially in chapters like capital budgeting. Here, we go by a very fundamental idea. A rupee today is worth more than a rupee tomorrow. You all will agree with this? A rupee in hand today is more than a rupee tomorrow. So what are we focusing here on? Present value of one rupee. So the present value of 1 rupee available at the end of 2 years is less, remember this, is less than the present value of 1 rupee available today. So there are two things to remember, available tomorrow and available today. You have 1 rupee, you have 100 rupees, you have 1000, you have 1 lakh, you have 10 lakhs. The value of that money that you have today is going to be more than its value later. Now, why it happens? Yes, you are right. The thought that comes into your mind is right. Inflation. With inflation, the value of money starts falling. Just think, 20, 30 years back, what all could you buy with a 100 rupee note? I'm taking a very basic 100 rupee note. How much could you buy? How many wants would you be able to satisfy with just spending 100 rupees 20 years back? And today, how much are you able to fulfill your wants with a 100 rupee note? Some of you will say, oh, 100 rupee, it just goes in traveling. You leave your house, you take an auto to reach your office, and your 100 rupee is over. So yes, the value of money is falling. So the rupee in hand today is definitely more than a rupee tomorrow. So what is the moral? Don't spend. Hold on to money very tightly. Because in economics, we are telling you, a rupee tomorrow is going to be less than a rupee today. Well, we cannot do that. Because as humans, we have wants. And to satisfy our wants, we need to spend to buy the various services and goods. Now in business, that was individual. Now in business, where you have a large amount of capital being invested in projects which are long run. A company may take up a construction project which it has to complete, let's say, in a 2 years time, but sometimes it extends. So definitely the money that they are going to earn from that completion on that project after 2 years would definitely be less than what they are spending today. So in the discounting concept, in capital budgeting, this principle of discounting is very, very popularly used in project planning. So in project planning, we have a method which is called as net present value. So when a company has to select a project, it applies this principle or this discounting concept to decide whether the project is worth or not. It's a mathematical technique because it will have a formula for adjusting the future value of money and computing the present values. So this is the main meaning of discounting. How do you define discounting? Discounting is a mathematical technique for adjusting the future value of money and computing present values. So the money that I am going to get 4 years ahead, I need to compute its present value today. So when I do that, I am using discounting concept. Very useful when you are making investment plans. You are investing in a bond or in a mutual fund where the returns that you are going to derive will be much later. So you can just check the discounting principle to know whether the money that you are going to earn later, what is its present value? So discounting concept is very popular, especially in capital budgeting and project planning. We move to the next. Here we have the next concept coming up, equi-marginal concept. The equi-marginal concept. It is a concept which is used when we are dealing with resources. Resources are natural, human, financial, material. Today, if I am taking this class with you, what is the resource I am using? You are listening to my lecture, what is the resource you are using? Time, energy, effort, concentration, right? It's a resource. As I keep making use of my time more and more in explaining the concept and you listening and trying to understand, we are both involving our time. So resources are being used. Now this resource, that is my time, can be spread into different activities. I could just read a book at this time. I could just go and watch a movie at this time. You can just go and have a sleep, or you can just be busy cooking food at home. Of course, yeah, I know some students say, oh ma'am, we can do our cooking also along with listening to the lectures. I said, good, that's a dual multitasking. But you have to pay attention, you have to concentrate. So we all know that resources can be used for alternative activities. Now, when I'm using any resource, how will I use this concept, which is called as equi-marginal concept? How will I use this concept? Now, it says that when the resources are allocated among various economic activities, try to use it in such a way that marginal benefit, look at this word, marginal benefit from each activity is the same. Now, you may be getting this little difficult to understand. It's an economic concept. Here we have a concept which we will relate in consumer behavior. Marginal benefit is spending the money in such a way that whatever you spend your money on, the benefit that you get from buying that product is equal to the benefit that you get from some other product. I'll give you a very simple example. Suppose you are spending your money on shopping, on entertainment, and on food, eating outside. You go out for shopping, okay? You go out for having your lunch, and you are spending money on a movie. Now, the equi-marginal concept says that when you are spending your money, you are getting the maximum benefit, that is the value for your money. So if you watch a movie, you feel that, oh, the movie was worth spending money on. You buy something, you get some discount offers, and the clothes that you buy, the shopping that you end up with, you are very satisfied, very happy, are a value for my money. And when you go, there's a discount offer. I don't say always discount will give you that benefit, but yes, marginal benefit is the satisfaction that you get from what you buy and what you spend your money on. And if it is equal, if it's equal, equal means you are equally satisfied with different purchases and happy, then you have used the equi-marginal concept. We move to the next. Now here we proceed to economic model building. Economic model building are popularly used in micro and macroeconomics. In economic model building, we segregate the study by using a term called variables. So what is the economic model all about? First of all, let's understand. In economic model, variables. First thing is that we have variables in economic model. So whenever you are going to read about any economic model, first thing is identify the variables. Variables are of two types: endogenous, exogenous. Endogenous variables and exogenous. That means variables which are internal and external. Endogenous variables are internal variables. Exogenous variables are external. You are going for your office, for your work. If you are not feeling well, you have some, a headache, and that is changing your overall mood, then that is an endogenous variable. But once you leave your house and there's a lot of traffic and you are getting late, so an external factor has influenced your mood and that is making you irritated. So our temperament, our behavior, our thought process is definitely controlled by endogenous and exogenous variable. Now when we talk about business, here we are looking at consumer behavior. We are looking at saving habits of people, let's say. Now, how much money a person is going to save per month will be controlled by endogenous and exogenous variable. Let's talk about an exogenous variable, rate of interest. Now you agree, rate of interest is outside our control. But changes in rate of interest impacts the saving habits of the people. Yes. So if the rate of interest increases, will that motivate people to save more money? Definitely yes. Endogenous variables are, I should save because future is uncertain. I don't know if there's any emergency and I'm in need of money. So I need to keep some money safe, precautionary motive. That's endogenous. So whenever we are trying to express a relationship between variables, whether it's endogenous or exogenous, we have to make use of equations. And yes, students, whenever equations are used, we are somewhere using the economic model concept in economics. Let's go ahead. So as we are going ahead now with the types of economic models, there are three main types of economic models: iconic, analog, and symbolic. Now, iconic, when we talk about iconic models, iconic models, as they say, they are basically visual or pictorial representations. And basically, they are explained to understand any specific concept. Like, for example, diagrams. You can see there are many diagrams on demand and supply. So they will come under iconic models, very popularly used to simplify a market situation. Analog models. Analog models are, again, one of the simplest forms of models. And when we talk about, they represent some set of properties of collected facts and figures. Data. Whenever we have a data, like, for example, population data or the company employees data, like the attendance data of employees in a company. So analog models will be very useful. In analog models, we will try to use some flowcharts. In economics, we are making use of analog models when we are explaining you the flowcharts in terms of, let's talk about national income, GDP, GNP, or wherever we have many sub points and subdivisions. The third are symbolic models, symbols. Symbols which are mostly used in economics. How do we symbolize function? How do we symbolize price, demand, supply? So these all models which are there, they are basically popularly used in economics. And symbolic models are basically explaining the mathematical relationship between various variables. We move ahead. After understanding these various concepts, we yet have another fundamental concepts which are related to the study of economics. And here we come with human wants. This is the starting of all economic activities. How do you define a want? Lack of satisfaction, state of discomfort. Every one of us prefers to remove a state of discomfort or lack of satisfaction. So human wants arise whenever we are not comfortable. Like you are in a job, you don't like the job, or you are not very happy with the job. A discomfort arises and a desire to go for a better job. This is the basic of economic human wants. Economists have categorized the wants into three: necessity, comforts, luxury. NCL. NCL. So whenever you talk about want, your family's wants of the collective wants of the employees in a company, wants of the management, we start categorizing into NCL. Necessity, comforts, or luxuries. The nature of wants is mentioned here. Wants are recurring, they are unlimited. But one thing is very clear, that wants cannot be satisfied simultaneously or fully. You all agree with this. We cannot satisfy all our wants. If you have one, you will not have the other. So this is a fundamental fact which has been highlighted by an economist called Lionel Robbins. He said that human wants, Lionel Robbins, as I mentioned, he said human wants are the starting point of all economic activities. He says wants are unlimited, but to the means, the resources to fulfill these wants are highly limited. Money is a limited resource to fulfill multiple wants. So what is to be done? Grading. Because resources have alternative uses. So now Lionel Robbins is more focusing on economics as a scarcity-oriented science. He believed that economics is of prime importance because it tries to make us understand how the resources become scarce with time due to the unlimited nature of wants. And the entire core area of economics is how multiple wants can be satisfied with this limited resources. The next concept that we go ahead with is utility. What is utility? It is the capacity of a good to satisfy a human want. When we say it is a capacity of a good to satisfy a human want, as a consumer, you have a want, you go to the market, you buy to satisfy your want. Yes? A very simple example of this would be our day-to-day activities. Like for example, I am buying, let's say we are going for a subscription of Netflix. Today, after lockdown and so on, you find that there were a lot of behavioral changes, a lot of wants being met with alternative resources. The way of living has altogether changed. People today are more comfortable in online purchase, online buying. So, entertainment has become one of the major sources during the pandemic situation. So what happened that time? People started preferring to watch movies because of complete lockdown on OTT platforms. So there was an OTT platform which got created, and we had so many online streaming videos and online streaming companies which came up. And here we have Netflix, Amazon Prime, and so on. If you are paying for a subscription of Netflix and it has the capacity to give you quality, whatever you are looking for, then we say it has utility. If this particular slide which I'm explaining and you are able to understand it, this slide and my explanation has utility for you. It's very hot. I go to a restaurant, I buy a bottled water and it quenches my thirst. It has utility. So utility is what we all look for when we are, as a consumer, buying any good or any service. When it comes to utility concept, we have an economist, Alfred Marshall, who brought two concepts of utility. He highlighted that utility can be understood when we understand total and marginal utility. The meaning is given here. Total utility is aggregate of utilities. Remember the word aggregate, total. So when will you derive total utility? When you complete your act of consumption. So if you are watching a movie, after you completely watch the movie and the movie gets over, whatever is your satisfaction or whatever is your feedback related to that movie will be considered as total utility. Marginal utility. The word here is addition. Because the act of consumption is continuous. As you watch the movie before interval and after interval. So before interval, whatever feedback we get from you will be considered as marginal utility. Because you have not still completely finished the act of consumption. So marginal utility is addition to the total utility. To understand this, we have a formula. So as we studied model building, economic model building, and we were talking about something called as symbolic models, symbols, right? So here you have the symbols. T-U-N stands for total utility of N units. N units, because we don't know what is the number of units a person is going to consume. Let's say a glass of water, or your favorite pastry, or your favorite pack of biscuits, or let's say you're just munching chips. Now, how many chips slices are in a packet, we don't count. So that is N. Total utility of N will be mu of the first plus mu of the second and so on till you reach mu of nth. This nth is because here we have N. So total utility formula is summation sigma mu, marginal utilities. So how do you memorize the formula? TUN is equal to summation of MUN. Summation of MUN is equal to TU. So always remember, M ka total, M ka aggregate is T. Very easy to remember. M ka total will give T. Matlab T is derived from totaling M. Barabar? Good. Whereas marginal utility, MU, marginal utility. MU, M will always be derived by a difference. TUN minus TUN minus 1. So first thing is memorize the formula. Total utility is summation of marginal, and marginal is difference of total. Marginal is difference of total. Total is summation of M. Memorize. Now to make you understand this, I have presented here a table, a schedule. There are three columns, and this is called as the utility schedule. First column is units of your favorite snack in numbers. So this is where you are going to write whatever you are consuming. If you like pani puri, the quantity of pani puris that you are having will be written in the first column. If you like chocolates, the number of chocolates that you have will be written in the first column. If you are having your favorite tea or coffee, then the number of units you are consuming will be first. So one thing is clear, my first column will consist of the number of units that I am consuming as a customer. Act of consumption bolte usko, act of consumption. If you are listening to my lecture, then how many slides I am covering, how many slides you are listening to will be our act of consumption. Okay. Second column is total utility. Third column is marginal utility. Total utility and marginal utility. In the bracket, utils. What is utils? Utils is unit of measurement of utility. So how is utility measured? In utils. There are some numerical numbers given over here. First thing that you see here is marginal utility is falling. Marginal utility continuously falls. 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, 0 and minus. So once you reach 0, 0 is considered as your saturation level. Point of satiety. S-T-A-T-I-E-T-Y. Satiety or satiety. What is this satiety? Satiety is like you are full now, exhausted. You cannot go beyond this in your act of consumption. So if it is like, let's say, having your favorite snack, then you cannot go beyond 6. Because at 6th unit, you are getting 0 marginal utility. So you are exhausted. And if still you are forced to have the 7th, then you are not going to like it. So negative indicates disutility, no satisfaction. Before we understand the concept, let's use the formula. Taking you back. You remember this formula, students? What is given to you? Just a minute. See here. Marginal utility is given. Abhi marginal utility say you have to come to total utility. Go back. Marginal utility is given. You need to find total utility. So what is the formula of total utility? Summation. Summation of marginal utilities. So what you will do, this 10 you will write here. That means my first unit is giving me 10 utils ka total utility and 10 utils ka marginal utility. Barabar? Now, addition. What will I write for the second? Now, 2 units I have consumed. Let's say I have consumed 2 sandwiches. After consuming 2 sandwiches, what will be my total utility? So, it will be 10 plus 8. So, how much is it? Yes, correct. 18. So, I will write here 18. Now, what will I write for the third? That means 3 sandwiches. 18 plus 6. 24. Barabar? Very good. 4. Come on, now you can self-calculate. So, 24 plus 4. 28. 28 plus 2. 30. But now, after 5, what will you do? 30 plus 0. This is 0. This is 0 here. So, 30 plus 0 gives you what? Yes, 30 only. That means for the 5th and the 6th unit, my total utility has become constant. 30 utils. Now, tell me, what will you write for the 7th? When the consumer is consuming 7 snacks, what will be the total utility? So, it is minus. Yani ki 30 minus 2. Yes, you will come to 28. So, you understand from this table that total utility will increase, but never at the same rate. Now, this consumer behavior with respect to act of consumption, non-stop, brings us to one law, that is the law of diminishing marginal utility. This law says anything that you consume beyond a limit, you are going to reach a saturation point and you are going to derive this utility. So just think of a particular movie, you liked it. How many times can you watch the movie non-stop? Or maybe some song, you like it. How many times can you replay that song? 10 times, 20 times. Where will be the zero stage coming in, setting in? You all have to decide. We all have a utility schedule in our mind. So whenever we are in the act of consumption, we all reach a point which is called as point of satiety. This is a point beyond which, if you consume, you will derive this utility. How is this concept useful? It is useful especially to understand consumer buying behavior. A consumer will never go on buying more and more because every additional unit will give them less utility than the first. And that is why whenever prices fall, what happens when prices fall? People tend to buy more. But they will never buy till they reach the point of disutility. So companies need to understand that when they are giving discount offers, then how much can they expect the revenue coming in? So with a fall in price, how much on a average the probability consumer will buy? Kitna consumer zyada khareedega? Ek pe ek free. So ek pe ek free mila, to customer kitna khareed sakta hai? There is something called as disutility. Because as per the law of DMU, as you increase the act of consumption, the level of satisfaction will never be the same. So this is one very important fundamental concept used in understanding buying behavior of a consumer. This is the base for the law of demand. Okay? Thank you.